Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil karim amma ba'd. Fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. Sadaqallahul azim. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver. With the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we had commenced last week the brief biography and some incidents relating to Mujaddid al-Milla, Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh. And inshallah today we'll continue. Just to recap some of the important points we mentioned last week, there were so many things we discussed. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayh was born in Thana Bhawan, 1280 AH. He was a unique personality, excelled in many fields, and he wrote thousands of books. Amongst the masterpieces he has written, Bayan al-Quran is a tafsir of the Quran-i-Majid in three volumes. It is in the Urdu language. It was after this kitab that Mawlana Shah Anwar Kashmiri Rahmatullah Alayhi, the walking library, the great luminary, he developed he was inspired to learn and master the Urdu language after reading Bayan al-Quran of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh. So it was not just the language, the Urdu, but it was the understanding and the tafsir of the Quran-i-Majid that Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh had captured so beautifully. Like that Behesht-e Zivar, which is in English available, and so many other kitabs, Tabligh-e-Deen, Hayatul Muslimin, and so many other important kitabs that he has written and now translated in English language so that it may assist us in our Islam, gaining taqwa, good akhlaq, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, becoming true salihin and pious. He lost his mother at a very tender age and he grew up in the care of his father and his paternal aunt. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, from a very young age, had developed the love for salah. And I mentioned the incident where he would put shoes straight and make one imam, a little child. And he would go past some masjid, empty masjid, nobody is there. He'll go and sit in the minbar and give a bayan. So from childhood days, he had this shock of becoming an alim. And he would read the Hajjud Salat whilst he was a young boy. His aunt would feel sorry for him that late part of the night, he's only about 11 years old, he's reading Tahajjud Salat. But this was Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, 11, 12 years old, reading Tahajjud Salat. So can you imagine later on what he became? He had many asatiza, but his main ustad was Mawlana Muhammad Yaqub Nanotvi Rahmatullahi Alayh. His initial dini education was by Hazrat Mawlana Fatah Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. And thereafter he went to Darul Deoband. And he completed his studies at the age of 19. But from his student days, people saw how intelligent he was. And he would answer very complex questions in a very easy way. You will find that the Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, many difficult questions ulama are faced with and try to explain in many pages. As the Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, in just a few words, he had the ability, just in a few words, he would explain the entire masala. He never wasted his time in futile play. This is something for all of us, especially youth. Do not waste your youth in frivolous pursuits. Our entire lives are now just being revolved around the social media, cell phone, and all this computers and games and all those things. Now, if you want to become an Allahwala, and we want to have that type of heart from childhood, in our youth, we should already start moving in that direction. And of course, as parents, we should now inculcate these good sifat and qualities and habits in our children. Now we give them the complete freedom, and then we expect them to become very pious servants. May Allah forgive us, may Allah give us hidayat. After qualifying, he spent 14 years in Kanpur, and many people benefited from him there. Then, of course, his sheikh, Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Alayh, called him to Thana Bhawan, and there was great wisdom in this. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh was very, very inspired by Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. And initially he had that very strong inclination to take bayat to him. He He requested bayat. Hazrat Gangohi Ramadullah refused, said no, you're still studying. Finally, Hazrat Thani Ramadullah writes a letter to Haji Imdadullah Ramadullah Ali. At that time, he was not a sheikh, but obviously he knew Hazrat Imdadullah Ramadullah Ali as the sheikh of Hazrat Gangohi Ramadullah Ali, to intercede on his behalf, that please tell your Khalifa, Hazrat Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Sahib Ramadullah Ali, to give me bayat. Haji Imdadullah Ramadullah, after receiving the letter, he himself gives bayat to Hazrat Thani Ramadullah Ali. So Hazrat Thani Ramadullah Ali then became bayat to Haji Imdadullah Ramadullah Ali, from whom he benefited tremendously. Hazrat Thani Ramadullah Ali passed away at the age of 83 years. From his akhlaq, the few habits and good qualities we mentioned last week, that he genuinely believed himself as lower than every other Muslim at that time. And he would say that as far as the non-Muslims are concerned, in regard to the future, then they are better than me, they are more superior, because I do not know they may accept Islam, and if they accept Islam, then they are superior to me. So he had this quality of tawazu, humility. And this was a salient feature amongst all the akabir ulama-i Dioban. Every single one of them, pick up any of their biographies, read their halat, and we mentioned already, halat of Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali. Remember the incident of the train, how he cleaned the toilet for the person who was a non-Muslim who wanted to go to the toilet, and when he came back, he saw the toilet was very filthy. Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah gets up himself, cleans the toilet himself. He was a great muhaddith, great alim. He didn't feel it below his dignity to do so. He told Lalaji, go, go, go. He said, no, it's not so clean. He said, go, I came from there now. And that person, when he saw that Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah cleaned the toilet of the train, immediately embraced Islam. If this is your deen, this is your akhlaq, this is the true religion. Now this is something all of us need to develop. Tawazu, humility, at workplace, wherever we are, to have this humility, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will elevate us if we have tawadu for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, whenever he chose a topic for bayan, he would see what weakness he has within himself. Like you mentioned last week, he gave one bayan on ghussa, anger. And he mentioned, this was a weakness in me. And therefore, he gave this bayan first to make islah of himself, rather than making of people. So he always introspect himself and see what shortcomings he had within himself. And of course, he was a man of usul and principle. Now this is something, as I mentioned last week, when we don't have principles, we don't have usul in our life, then our life is very haphazard. We're not productive. We're not paband with time. We go late to work. We go late to teach. We go late to the masjid. We always masbuk. We're always coming after namaz is over. This type of life is not a life of deen and shariat. It's not a life of usul. We have to discipline ourselves. When a person has usul in his life, his discipline, he's productive. Then he gains it qurb with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no, any person just comes in and barges into the khanka of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali and sees what he wants to see or does what he wants to do. There was a tariqah, there was a zabta, there was a regulation, a rule. And a person was appointed just to teach the person, the newcomer, how to make assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. To teach him the correct way of making salam. This was found also in Imam Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatul Ali, who was the Khalifa of Hazrat Thani Rahmatul Ali, and he should come to our country very often. When you should meet Hazrat Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatul Ali, literally people would actually shiver, and we should practice how to meet him, how you put your hands, and assalamu alaykum, with proper tajweed also you're saying it. So Hazrat Thani teaches us. He said, if you don't come to my khanka for Islam, go somewhere else. If you come here to become an insan, agar insan banna ho, to mere paas aaja. I will teach you to become a human being. And that's what we require, to become a human being. So, he would have times also. Certain time you cannot enter his khanka, whoever it may be. So, at that time, the gates will close, and Hazrat Thani Ramadullah has gone home. And then of course, he had a lot of compassion for people, and he would feed his guests, take care of them. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, from the other things we mentioned, so many great personalities who had a very different mindset and misconception of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. People would think to be very, very hard and shadeed. It was for the sake of deen, not for his own personal gains. He gained nothing. What he gained? It wasn't the person's wealth, whether he could be a nawab sahab, a very wealthy person, whoever he may be, that would not affect and influence Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali and move him away from the principles and usul he had. We had the example of Hazrat Mawlana Sulaiman Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali, how he, when he went to Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, just in that one majlis, one gathering, and he was known as Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi Rahmatullah, he was a Sayyid. But in that one majlis, how his entire life changed. And when he came out, he confessed that what happened, but his old man, who I thought, this old man, Buddha kya janta hai? What does he know? But when I went there, I saw the reality and the spirituality that Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah had, also the ilm, the knowledge he had. And all that was then casted onto Hazrat Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi in that one majlis, and immediately he found the change in his life. And of course we mentioned the fact that he was so paabund on his usul, and no person would just come in and just disturb his maamulat, whatever maamul he had. I mentioned to you last week, when he was writing his Bayan al-Qur'an, he had a fixed time after Isha Salah. This is my time for Bayan al-Qur'an tafsir. So during that Bayan al-Qur'an tafsir, when he should write, so no person would come and see him. Nobody was allowed that. And so happened, Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah, that is his Ustad, Ustad of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah. He comes with some other two buzur. Now what does a man do in that situation? Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah first saw to them, salam, made them sit, got somebody to give them something to eat, whatever it was. Hazrat, ijazat chaunga, I need about 15 minutes. Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah, ji, jao, no problem, be okay. He goes to his room, he starts writing. With pabandi, he writes for 15 minutes, closes the kitab and he comes and then he entertains his ustad. So he had done both. He was not rude and disrespectful to his ustad. At the same time, his ma'mul did not break. Now we, every small thing, want to break our ma'mul. So our tasbih will go, our tilawat of Yasin, Surah Waqia, Surah Mulk, our tilawat for the day, our dhikr, askar, dua, everything is gone. You go on holiday, our namaz also, Allah forgive us, goes with qaza. Whereas at holiday you have got more time. Normally you're busy at work, so you don't have so much of time. When you are at holiday, you have more time. So therefore we are doing all these waqiyas of akabir, ulama-i dioban especially. I mentioned there are many buzrug awliya who passed in this world, who are in this world. We took them specifically because they are salient features common amongst all of them and which we can relate to. Because many of our elders in this country, asatiza, were these people's students. So we can relate to them, and we have seen, not one person, everyone we take, and we see the biography, the lifestyle, so many important things for us, and all this we got from where? Quran and Sunnah. Quran and Sunnah. They were very, very strict when it came to Quran and Sunnah. Not something that is on their own developed, they made some bid'at and they just put something. They had answers for anything that you and I would have some misunderstanding, and outwardly we see, no, why is he doing this? Why? You will find that kitabs are written just to explain to people why the particular action was done, why this, of course, we follow Quran and Hadith and Sunnah. If there is any action that is totally against Quran and Sunnah in their lives, obviously we do not take that. Sometimes it is the heart of the person. Look at general what has happened and what their lives, how they were inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How Allah guided them. And the work Allah took from them, that millions till today still benefit. Millions, literally millions of people still benefit from them. So continuing, inshallah. As a Thani Rahmatullah, we might mention a few things that we've already done. As a Thani Rahmatullah would say, very seldom would I receive hiding from my asatiza. Rarely did I get hiding from my ustads. In fact, he says almost zero. The reason was that I would learn my sabak and I would remain with adab. Now, of course, getting hiding from the ustad, there's no guna in that, no weakness. Everybody gets hiding. And of course, ustad also, there's a limit of hiding and the shari'i masail also. Not to abuse the child, etc. We're not going to go that detailed. But as Hanif Ramadullah is mentioning that he used to learn his sabak. And he had adab and respect. These two things. If the child, it has adab, respect, good manners, akhlaq, then automatically he'll gain the love of the ustad. He'll get the duas of the ustad. And he makes an effort then Allah Ta'ala opens him. Allah Ta'ala makes it such that he then benefits in that way. So this is something that the Thani Ramadhi mentioned. Why? Because he never used to like, as I said, wasting his time in frivolous pursuits. As we say, by the person is just loafing, he's just wasting his time. In the case of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, right from his childhood, as I said, whereas other children are playing, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, his natural, his tabiat, he disliked all this. He would remain at home, rather than play with the neighborhood boys. The neighborhood boys would view this as an insult to them. They would run behind him and chase him, in fact, sometimes with knives, to intimidate him to play with them. For his protection, a butler would be sent to accompany him to the madrasa, so no boy interferes with him on the road. When this did not restrain those boys from intimidating him, they continued. They would not worry about the butler. Can you imagine? They had to actually get the station commander then to summon all those boys, and he gave them a good hiding with his stick, and he warned them, if in future any one of you force him to play with you, I'm going to give you such a punishment, you'll never forget the rest of your life. Thereafter, nobody intimidated him. I mentioned already, love for salat, love for tahajjud salat. He was accepted and loved by all. The effect of his love for deen was Allah Ta'ala created love for him in the hearts of people, right from his childhood. So, many people, mashayikh, buzughani deen, they would see him, they would give him dua. So not only was he beloved in the eyes of buzurgs, but even his own people, normal people of the village, the town, everybody loved Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. Also very important, I'm not sure if I mentioned last week or not, and again, this is, obviously if a person has usul in his life, then he will not waste time. So time, waqt, and that is something all of us need to now develop within our lives, appreciation of time. So in this world, there is nothing more precious, more valuable than time. Of course, after iman, time is such an astonishing bounty that once the time has elapsed, we can never retrieve the second that is gone. It's too late. So Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, he considered it to be a sin to waste even 1 minute. And therefore he would not mix with any person. All the time he was engrossed in his studies. If he had some free time, he would go and sit in the service of his special ustad, Hazrat Muhammad Mona Yaqub Nanoti Rahmatullah Ali. Mona Yaqub Nanoti Rahmatullah Ali, I mentioned his name about enough time already now. And I mentioned what a great caliber of an ustad he was. He is Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, special ustad. Once Hazrat Mullah Muhammad Yaqub Nanoti Rahmatullah Ali is out of town, has gone on some safar. Now any person will say, normally my free time I go sit by Mullah Yaqub Nanoti Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat not there today, so now I'm free. Many murids of the sheikhs, sheikh is gone safar, murids are free now. So many times they say, of course I'm not talking about any person, wallahi, just for our own islah, otherwise we're sitting here for what reason? Many times we find that the murid is sitting just to please the sheikh. Niyat is incorrect. Niyat should be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sheikh is gone from this world, murid goes back to his own life. Allah save us. Sheikh is not around, namaz also sometimes the person is lax. The sheikh is there, first saf. For the program, he's there first saf. If the sheikh is out of sight, gone somewhere, then what happens? The person becomes comes. This is when Allah is not the murad. And if you made the sheikh your murad and not Allah, this will happen. Therefore, we need to remind ourselves all the time, I'm doing it solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, the sheikh has become a sabab, a means of my hidayat. Allah ta'ala is guiding me through him. But he never becomes the murad. Allah is our murad. So don't do things for show and just to get the sheikh's muhabbat and that's all. If you gain Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, Mona Yaqub Nanotri Ustad is not there. What does he do? He could not bear being unoccupied. So he would go into the khidmat of his other asatiza. Mona Sayyid Ahmad Saab, Hazrat Mona Sayyid Ahmad Saab is saying, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah is coming to me. So he said, why have you come? So Hazrat Mawlana Thani Ramadhan explained, he said, Hazrat Mawlana Yaqub Sahab has gone out. Therefore I have presented myself in your service so that my time is not wasted. My time is not wasted. So in his student days, he would stay at the boarding. Now in the madrasa, in the darul, we have a darul iqama where people with the students board. So there was boarding for them and food is provided for them. Hazrat Thani Ramadhan goes to his day in Deoban, he's studying. Now, in Deoban itself, he had many family members, close relatives, who were residing there. And they would call him to their homes, give for a dawat, for meals. Very common amongst our students in our times. Any dawat they give, any far connection also, the student is gone. Hazrat Thani Ramadhan Ali would not go to any of their homes. Leave alone meals, he won't even associate with them, as though he does not know them, these strangers. He writes to his father. He's worried because perhaps he might complain to me, to my father about me, that I'm being like this, I'm not coming to the homes. What was his purpose? I want to study all the time. I don't want to interact with any person. And by interacting with others, I'm going to affect my studies. So he writes to his father. He said that these relatives of ours, you know, they are forcing me to come to the home, etc. So I'm not, what should I do? The father responds like this. He says, did you go there for family ties or for ilm? You went to visit your connections or you went for knowledge? But this answer was sufficient for the Thani Ramadhan. He got very happy. This was sufficient for him. So as long as he was in Deoban as a student, he remained in the madrasa. He did not go to see his family. But the day he qualified after that, he went and visited all of them. He visited all of them. In fact, it's mentioned regarding Hazrat Thani Ramadhan Ali. People studying overseas, you send him a letter. So wherever his parents and other family members, whoever would send him a letter, as he's a student, except somebody gave birth, or somebody passed away, or somebody this happened or that happened, Hazrat Thani Ramadhan Ali, whenever the mail used to come, put in one box, one side, he never even looked there. Allah forgive us. You and I, cell phone, whilst teaching, whilst studying, in the masjid, whilst working, whilst driving, whilst going to bed, maybe in our sleep also, reading our messages. Hazrat Thani Ramadhan Ali, Allah give me tawfiq also to make amal, he put it one side. Comes year end, end of the year, now it's a holiday time, he opens all those letters. Certain person passed away, inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun, make dua for the person. Somebody got a child, mashallah, mubarak, he makes dua. Then he is reading and replying to those letters. Whilst he was studying, he did not even go to his meal. Now this inshallah must be passed on to my students and many other students. Inshallah, if we do this, then we go a long way. So he had this habit of khalwat. Khalwat means solitude. So, whilst he was studying especially, always in khalwat, whenever he would see boys coming to his room, he immediately go and closes the door, so that his studies were not interrupted, and his time was not wasted. You find in this, with students, a lot of time is wasted, a lot of time. Instead of studying, you'll have the kitab open also. And you're thinking the boy is studying, you know, he's talking. What happened, holiday, weekend, this, that, and he's looking inside the kitab. You know, mahir, ustad, kermfa. Make God, he's not even studying, he's talking stories. But here, Hazrat Thani Ramadhan Ali would close the door. He don't want to see any person. Why? Because he needs every moment is precious for him. So this fervor for ilm, it was through the barakat of this khalwat, solitude, that he remained totally engrossed in acquiring ilm-e-deen. And his fervor for acquiring knowledge can be gauged simply from this, that he learned some kitabs, which were not included in the madrasa, as I mentioned last week. He learnt it from his asatiza. While they were making wudu, he would sit there, and whatever kitab it was, whatever question he had regarding the kitab, he would ask them whilst making wudu. He had sadgi in his life. And again, all our mashayikh had simplicity in their lives. Hazrat Thani Ramadhan Ali lived such a simple life, clothing also simple, and he emulated his asatizah kiram. So how his asatizah were, that is what Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, he followed their lifestyle, their habits. His love for the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ajib, his kindness. So what can be said regarding Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah's kindness towards Allah's creation? He even made dua for animals. Which one of us make dua for animals? He made dua for animals in general for a certain period. Then he began to wonder that he did not come across any hadith where a certain dua is mentioned regarding making dua for animals. So for some time he stopped. And then, because he did not want to do something which is not sabit from sunnah, Allah Ta'ala then showed him and he came across a hadith in which a dua is mentioned. Allahumma asqi ibadaka wa bahimatak wa ansur rahmatak wa ahyi baladaka al-mayyit. O Allah, provide water to your servants and your animals. This is the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O Allah, feed your bandas, your creation, and bahima. Bahima means the animals. So when he saw that there is a dua sabit from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Thani immediately continued making dua even for animals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given Hazrat Thani al-Maturari a very sound temperament. Of course, as I said, if somebody does something which is not humane or no adab, no respect, Hazrat Thani al-Maturari will make islah immediately. But Hazrat Thani al-Maturari's temperament was such that he liked ease for everybody else, not difficulty. So he never falls into difficulty unnecessarily, nor does he put others into difficulty. However, when there's a need, you will not find anyone being able to bear hardship as much as Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. So his tabiat was like that, emulating Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked ease for the makhluk, not difficulty. This quality was observed by those who interacted with Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. Now this is remarkable. Any person who comes to him with the most difficult and complex issue, Hazrat Thani Ramadhan would find a very simple solution for it. This issue was considered sometimes to be unsolvable. But then Hazrat Thani Ramadhan Ali, with the tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fadl and karam of Allah, he'll give such a beautiful solution to the person. The statement of a well-known author and philosopher was quoted that Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali was once on his journey when this person wrote to Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah saying, "You create so much of ease in every matter while considering the views of others and seeing what is advantage to them that is difficult to believe it without experience for oneself." So Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, for even great philosophers would see that he found a very easy solution for two people. He didn't make life difficult. As far as his taqwa is concerned, his wara, and not making khiyanat, is an incident of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. We once he's traveling. Now in India, those who went to India and they travel by train, they will understand that you got to go in, buy your ticket, and you got luggage, extra luggage, you got to pay for that luggage. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, on one occasion, had extra saman, extra goods. So he is traveling now, and some others also with him. He had purchased some sugar cane. He had purchased some sugar cane, and he was taking the sugar cane with him. So he inquired, that what about this extra saman that I have? Don't I have to pay for this? So the person who was in charge there, a police officer, he said, "Hazrat, you don't have to worry about all this. You don't have to worry about this. I'm around. I'll sort it out. And I'll speak to the officer in charge, whoever is coming onto the train. I'll speak to him." Hazrat Thani Rahman said, "And after that, what happens?" He said, "No, then that person will speak to the next officer." Hazrat Thani Rahman said, "And after that, what happens?" He said, no, then after that, the next station comes, so that officer, he'll explain to the third one, and after that you are there. So, I'll just read out from the kitab, so you'll understand better, inshallah. As the Thani Rahmatullah Ali, as I said, he's there in the station, and now he is traveling. He was traveling from Saharanpur to Kanpur. So Maulana had sugar cane with him. And he wanted it to wait at the station. So normally in India, when traveling by train, the luggage is weighed and one has to pay accordingly for it. But no one weighed Maulana's sugar cane. There were some non-Muslim workers there. They also knew Maulana. And out of respect for him, they told him, it's okay, you can proceed without weighing it. Like many of us would like that to happen to ourselves. Traveling, airport, extra luggage. We say, make a plan, please. And we are so happy that the guy or the person in the counter made this plan for us. He was not authorized to do so. Again, taqwa, iman, amanatdari, no matter who you are. You can be the Mufti Saab, Hazrat Saab, Sheikh Saab, whoever you are. Shariat is for all. May Allah give me tawfiq, give all of us tawfiq. This is the thing. Very easy to give bayans and give flowery language and make as though we have these qualities. But this is our deen. So how often we find? We can see it's not right. You've got a whole another two pieces of luggage. And he just gives the fellow something. That's a bribe, which is haram. And he lets the thing go through. Yeah, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah said, says non-Muslim workers, out of respect for him, he said, you may proceed freely without doing it. We will speak to the guard on the railway train to permit you to pass through. Maulana inquired, till where will this guard accompany me? So outwardly, this person thought Maulana is happy with it. So how long will he be me to make sure that nobody, you know, charges me or have a problem on the way? They replied till Ghaziabad. Maulana then said, and after that, the workers replied, this guard will inform the next guard. We got our way of telling them. Maulana inquired, phir uske baad kya hoga? What will happen after that? The workers answered, he will take you to Kanpur where your journey ends. Maulana said, my journey won't end there. People looked at him, Hazrat, no, this train goes to Kanpur only. There's no other further destination. Hazrat Thani said, uske baad akhirat hai. The journey after that is akhirat. What arrangements will be made there? On hearing this, these workers, non-Muslim workers, were astonished and greatly affected by Hazrat Thani Muhammad's taqwa. As far as people writing to him, again, as I mentioned, people who condemned this Buzughan-e-Din, they would call them various type of names, and they would criticize him. From our mashayikh I mentioned to you, it's quite mashhoor, from all of them, Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madi Rahmatullah Ali was most ridiculed by the people. And he exercised complete sabr. If you recall, right in the beginning, those waqiyas of people even throwing liquor on his beard, putting his topi, jumping on his topi, Hazrat just keep quiet. Allah's madad will come immediately and those people were destroyed. So Hazrat Thani says, for a long time I've been receiving various forms of criticism from critics, most of which were based purely on prejudice. Hazrat Thani said, I didn't even consider as worthy to reply to. He didn't waste his time. He said, I also realized that to answer these objections meant a continuation of dispute. I'm going to write jawab, they're going to find some other problem, then I'm going to answer back, and in this way, we're going to just waste time. He said, we should be a waste of time. without succeeding in one's aim. Moreover, I have so much other work to do that I hardly find the time to devote to necessary talks even. Then again, I look into my heart. Now this is what you call Allah Wala. This is Allah Wala. He says, then I look into my heart and found, in answering these objections, my niyat wasn't correct. My nafs was more inclined towards the thought that if I did not respond, my supporters would become less inclined towards me. So I'm writing, giving jawab, and refuting these objections just to appease my own followers, my own muridin. So my nafs is involved here. And he said, in that case, I would be answering in order to please people, which is not good for me. A certain person belonged to a particular sect whose beliefs Maulana was completely opposed to. However, that person would claim that Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Ali belonged to his sect. Hazrat Maulana was informed of this. Hazrat Maulana Thani then replied, he said, the only reason that this man has a good opinion of me and regards me favorably is that I do not adopt a harsh approach when dealing with people. Instead, when dealing with people, I display politeness and good character together with the remaining within the limits of Sharia by not adopting an attitude of compromise. Even when dealing with these people who are involved sometimes in bid'ah, I do not conduct myself in a harsh or unpleasant manner. I display politeness and good character according to the sunnah of Rasulullah Park sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This again was found amongst Akabir ulama of the open. The way they responded. There's another nice incident of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. By the way, he had two wives. And the justice that he displayed with those two wives was amazing. We can't go into the details. If somebody gave something, so he won't just give one wife, he'll share it equally. There was an incident I had heard many years ago. Somebody gave him watermelon. Now, as the Thani thought, if I slice into two, what if this one side is not so sweet and the other is more sweeter? So he bought another watermelon. He cut both, checked, and then he gave both the wives equally. This is the insaf. This is the insaf. And so many other waqiyas of Hazrat Thani of this nature. In any case, his elderly wife one day, first wife, said that she had to go somewhere. And they had this fowls in a pen, which she used to feed and give water to. So she told him, I'm going, just see to these fowls. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, busy man, bayan al-Quran, verses the word, buldi, busy. Bulgay, he forgot. That day, he goes to write now his kitabs. Not a single word is coming to his mind. He thought, okay, let me take something else. He started writing something else. Nothing is coming to his mind. He said, Allah, kya ho gaya? Now he's pondering. See, when mashayikh, anything like this happens to them, okay, leave mashayikh. What happens to us? We'll see. Somebody did jadu on me. Somebody, koi kidal ucha. Somebody has done something to me. They look this way. We looking the other way. We look at somebody else, he's a problem. Not myself. Hazrat Thani pondered, oh ho. Allah ki ek makhluk ko maine nahi khilaya aaj. Immediately he goes, realize, he feeds them, gives them the water, whatever, the grain that he had to feed them. He came back, his pen began to flow. One Mauli Sahab tells Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat, jo mujhse galti hua kare, Hazrat wala mujhe tok diya kare. Hazrat, any mistake I make, please, Hazrat, you must shout me. Hazrat Thani replied, main koi police ka sipahi hu, I'm a police officer, that har waqt danda ke saath main khada rahu, aur jo bhi tu, yani tujhse galti ho, main tujhe toku. That every time you do something wrong, I must keep on reprimanding you. That's not. Give a simple answer now to him. Simple solution. Mujhe dekho, aur meri si aadat-e-ikhtiyar karo. Just look at me and try and develop my qualities, my some habits. Then inshallah, that will be sufficient for you. So, another very important what I've understood from his kitabs, why was Hazrat Tamim al-Zurari also successful in his writing and his life? Of course, his taqwa, Allah's fazal and karam and all what we explained, but there were two very important points in his life. And that is, that he was very particular with time. Time. He did not waste time. And the other thing he had, husne nizam. Everything was in order. Nothing was haphazard and chaotic in his life. His khanka also, there was nizam. Time for coming, time for leaving, whatever it was. A person came, bhai, why have you come? What's the reason? There is one incident. One person came, Hazrat Tanu, and asked him, bhai, why are you? Hazrat, aapki ziyarat ke liye. So he was sitting there. So happened, some people came now, after Asr. Generally he writes some taweezes for people who ever needed something. Hazrat, of course, this taweez thing, not like this writing, from Quran, Hadith, whatever, dua. So now, people came, I got this worry and this problem, and I, one of 12, whatever, gave him some taweez and finished. Next person came, said, suddenly this, Hazrat, mujhe bhi ek taweez likh lijiye. Hazrat, give me one taweez also. Hazrat said, bhai, you, immediately reprimanded. You came for taweez or you came for ziyarat? Now suddenly you got shocked for taweez? Your intention wasn't clear. You came for this and you gave me some other answer. Immediately reprimanded him. Now all these things are lesson for all of us. We go sometime for something, you go to meet some buzurg and suddenly you see, Hazrat, put pani mein kuch dam kar lena. I remember Hazrat ki Makhtar sahab ra mujhko, ya Allah. The lines will be just for dam water. Bichara, no thing. When you go to Bangladesh, crowds, amazing crowds. Each one was a big musafa also. There's not like 100 people, thousands of people. They have to make announcement by Allah ki waaste, please. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hazrat once even told them, now this is for us to understand. Now they want like Hazrat to pass his hand and blow on them. So he said, acha, choo, 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 choo. On the mic he made that, bas, sabko lag gaya, inshallah. Just to make them happy. Somebody asked Hazrat Thani al-Maturali, when I pay my mulazim, my workers, how should I pay them? Sometimes I chuck the money towards them. Hazrat Thani al-Maturali immediately said, no. This is totally incorrect. He said, your mulazim, your worker, you must treat him with respect. Don't ever throw things towards him and think he's, because that you are showing that he is zaleel. You are disgracing him. If it's impossible, how you give him his salary, like how you give somebody a gift, a hadiah. How you pay him, like how you're giving somebody a hadiah with respect you give him his salary. Don't take things and throw towards him. Because by doing that, you are now showing that you are making him zaleel and disgrace. And this is, none of us has got the right to do such a thing. There was a poet, Jigar Muradabadi, rahmatullahi alayhi. Jigar Muradabadi was known as Ustadul Shu'ara, the Ustad of the poets in India. Muslim, but one very bad habit he had. He was an alcoholic and he would drink openly. Openly. It was his life, always with a bottle. Very intelligent man. His poetry was of a very high caliber. I can't go into the details. They would call him to all his big conferences and, you know, this, where they would have poetry and gatherings of this nature, where they would have competitions. And Jigar Muradabadi was a master. In fact, there's a long story how he was invited to one gathering where he composed Naat Sharif Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a long story. People objected. And then the people who organized the whole program felt, no, he's a very good poet. You know, without him, there's no real fun in the whole event. People had said, if he comes on the stage, we're going to protest. In any case, finally he gave, and the words he gave were very touching, and everybody was, you know, touched by the beautiful kalam that he had. After this event, he meets Haja Azizul Hasan Majzub Rahmatullahi Alayh. Now this man, we have mentioned many times his name, he was one of the most, if not the closest, murid and khalifa of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi Alayh. He was not an alim, but he was, as a deputy collector, very high position he had in the government. Very simple person. Clothing was simple. Ashiq is not the word. Ashiq of Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ashiq of his sheikh. Real ashiq of his sheikh. It's regarding him that I mentioned previously also. After Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah passed away, his main khulafa sitting, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, many others sitting. Haja Sahib is also sitting there. And while they were talking something, somebody said something light-hearted. Everybody laughed. Haja Sahib Rahmatullah immediately asked, "Bhai," he asked Mufti Shafi Sahib, "Bhai Mali Shafi, batao. When you laugh now, be honest. For this few seconds, did you become ghafil of Allah or not? Did you become unmindful as you were laughing?" He said, "Yeah." All of them said, "Yes." Haja Sahib said, "Make qasam kata. I take qasam. Not to, for show. This is dars and ibrat for us. Even when I laugh, at that time, my ta'alluq with Allah was still there. I did not become ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So Haja Azizul Hasan Majzub rahmatullahi. Even Majzub means now in a different realm. Real ashiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he, Jigar Muradabadi, meets him after this event. Khaja Sahib, such a high ranking officer you are. How you been? You like a simple, kya hua aapko? He said, "Bas, I stayed in the sohbat of one buzuk. His name is Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. Mawlana Ashraf Farid Thani Rahmatullah." He said, "Mujhe bhi shok hai. Mujhe bhi unse milna hai. I want to meet him." Khaja Sahib said, "No problem. So ask Hazrat first." He said, But Jigar Muradabadi said, "Lekin ek shart. I'll go meet the man there, I'll go to his khanka, but I'm not going to leave my bottles behind. I'm going to drink also there." Now imagine going to Hazrat Thani on the khanka. The man comes late and all that, what's going to happen? So Khaja Sahib said, "Okay, I'll just say main ijazat lunga." Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, he came to him and Hazrat, "Hey, bahut bara shair hai, Jigar Muradabadi. Probably Hazrat Thani must have known about him, heard about him." He said, "Wo aapse milna chahta hai, lekin wo sharabi hai. Aur usne ye shart lagaya, ki main bottle ko nahi chhorunga, saath launga. I want to bring my bottles and drink also there. Otherwise, I'm not coming." Hazrat Thani, this is again, he was known as Hakimul Ummat. Hakim, wisdom. He said, "Haan, zarur unko lao. Bring him. But I won't make him stay in my khanka. Khanka is public. Many others will be there. We cannot break the usul of the khanka now. So Jigar Muradabadi. That can't happen. I'll keep him in my own house. Kafir can stay in my house also. But what kufar kare, that's between him. Not according with me. He's staying as a mehman. You can have mehman, you can have a visitor, non-Muslim thing, there's no problem in it. So if he drinks in my house, that's his thing. But not in the khanka." So Jigar Muradabadi goes. My respected brothers, and the story is long, short, long and short of the whole story. He sits in the company of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. They say, Buzrugon ki nazar. Without Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah telling him anything about his beard and living out drinking, he himself makes toba. "Hazrat, main wada karta hu that from today I'm going to keep my beard. And I promise I'm never going to go back to drinking." And his toba was sincere. The Tanya made a lot of dua for him. Jigar Muradabadi comes out, started growing his beard, and he stopped drinking wine, alcohol completely. He became very sick. Very sick. Happens. Suddenly you're drinking so much and you stop completely. Doctors pleaded to him, you're gonna lose your life. Drink a little at least. Consume little. Not so much as before, but carry on drinking and then slowly you must wean yourself off. He said, jab maine toba kar liya, dobara main uski taraf nahi jaunga. Finish. I made toba, I'll never go, even if I die. Alhamdulillah, he survived. He gained his strength. People then began to hear, is this Jigar Muradabadi? No. When you're a celebrity and suddenly you get some inqilab in your life, everybody wants to see him. People came from far and away to come check Jigar Muradabadi, good beard now. Kya hai? So Jigar Muradabadi, in his own words, he said, chalo, dekh aaye tamasha jigar ka. As though now the people said, so let's go and check the tamasha of jigar. What has happened to him now? He buzruk ban gaya na. He became a buzruk Allah wala. His whole libas he changed, he got beard, he's no more drinking any more sharab. So he said, chalo, dekh aaye tamasha jigar ka. This is, he's adding himself, expressing what has happened. Now people are so curious to see and witness Jigar Muradabadi. They would come and see him and then go back. So he's writing in his own words. Chalo, dekh aaye tamasha jigar ka. Sunata ki wo kafir musalman ho gaya. Sunata ki wo kafir musalman ho gaya. Jigar Muradabadi Rahmatullahi himself saying that as though these people when they came, he said, when they saw him, they said, now we heard that this person who had no iman, now he got iman. Now he became a musalman. And generally that's why we said Rahmatullahi. He became a very pious person. Allah Ta'ala give all of us tawfiq and hidayah to make amal, to understand. These stories, these waqiyahs, not just for entertainment, it is solely so that the speaker, the listeners, mothers at home, every person, our youth especially, our youth. I'm mentioning almost every week now. Allah protect us, Allah protect our children, our grandchildren, our entire zuriyat. These waqiyahs are for us to share with them. Alhamdulillah, all this is all is recorded, is available. So we can go back and we can listen. And inshallah, if we listen again, with ikhlas, Allah, I want to change my life. I want to. If you're going to worry about this and that and so many, believe me, sometimes shaitan comes in the form and he puts a dini thing in front of you and he takes away all your time thinking that that's important, whereas that was not important. Something else which was fard and compulsory for you to change your life and become Allah wala, you wasted all your life in something else and you're getting nothing out of it. There is the makar of shaitan. And your nafs will also take you into that. That is why they say, Allah give me the tawfiq also sitting in the sohbat of Ahlullah, Mashayikh. At least read the kitab, biographies, hear about them. Now if I tell you, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah said something, immediately. You will feel like practicing, you feel like listening, because you know the man now. Previously if I told you about Mohsen Ahmad Madni, you think, who is this one man? Mala Qasim Nanotvi, we didn't know who he was. Alhamdulillah, we discussed some aspects of their life. Now when we talk about these mashayikh, Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanoti Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, their love has come into our hearts for them. They are Ahlullah, Allah walas. Like that, of course, Sahaba Kiram, Ridwanullah Ta'ala Ali Majmain first. Tabi'een, the Salafi Salihin, so many, right till this very day. May Allah Ta'ala make maghfirat of all the people who have passed away. So many ulama have lost their lives in the recent 1-2 years. And now, just the other day, another very great alim in Pakistan, he was assassinated. Allah Ta'ala, Mawlana Salimullah Khan's son, Mawlana Adil Khan, Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Thousands and thousands of people attended his janazah, from what I heard. And these were all people who gave their lives for the sake of deen. So more and more and more and more are going to leave this world. And the hadith says, what will be left when Allah will take away his ulama, the scum, the dirt full to be left. Now we don't have these people to guide, we will take ordinary people who are jahil, ignorant, as our leaders to guide us. They will be astray and they will lead others astray. Allah protect us, whatever time we have, life we have, before Dajjal emerges, before more fitna comes about, with istiqamah, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and grab whatever we can to preserve our iman, preserve our deen, and to die as people who follow the sunnah of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah must be happy with us. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.